Okay, our final case this morning is number 18-2019, Psionics LLC versus Hamamatsu Corporation, Mr. Bellinger.
Good morning, Your Honor. May it please the court. We're appealing from two grounds of unpatentability found in the IPR proceeding below. The first being anticipation over the Nakashiba reference, the second being obviousness from a combination of Mizura and Mabuchi.
But if we affirmed on obviousness, we wouldn't even need to reach anticipation, correct?
Correct, Your Honor. And so if I could start with the obviousness and what we believe to be the error in the obviousness analysis. Your Honors, we find the primary error which infected the primary legal error which infected the entirety of the board's opinion on obviousness was their failure to recognize that a motivation to combine is petitioner's burden and must take into account the prior art references as a whole, unguided by the claimed invention. And the board repeatedly credited petitioner's arguments regarding motivation to combine, which was unclaimed, yet discounted patent owner's responses to the motivation to combine by consistently finding that those responses were not found in claim elements. And so we think that is clear error under this court's Intelligent Biosystems case, where it is correct that for a teaching away and reasonable expectation of success analysis, the board should have looked to the claims to determine whether a teaching away was to a claim element or whether an expectation of success went to a claim element, but it was legally improper for the court to ignore the balance of the teaching of the reference that was, in fact, in the Intelligent Biosystems case, this court found that type of analysis central to evaluating a motivation to combine when the motivation of to combine was directed to that exact issue.
But
in the prior
why
reference.
Wouldn't this be much like Intelligent Biosystems, where even if that error occurred, it's harmless?
Okay.
So, because there were otherwise sufficient findings that were made to support the board's conclusion.
Sure. So this is why we think the error was not harmless. So the principal error here was the board crediting a conclusory statement in the petition that the performance of the Mabuchi CMOS image sensor would be improved by application of Mizura's texture. There was a couple sentences in the petition. That was the entire articulation of the motivation to combine. But importantly, the motivation to combine argument in the petition was directed to the entirety of Mabuchi's CMOS image sensor. There was no argument in the petition. There was no articulation in the institution decision that Mabuchi should be analyzed as a single pixel or a single picture element.
But beyond that, there was a whole proceeding before the board, and there was expert testimony. The board relied on, the board wasn't bound by saying we can only rely on what we relied on at the institution stage. They're allowed to look at the entirety of the record, right?
They're allowed to look at the entirety of the record. What they're not allowed to do is change the basis for the petition, moving from the entirety of the CMOS image sensor to a new position where you're looking at only a single pixel of the image sensor, and then discount the problems with the motivation to combine that are not claimed elements, but that are part of the references as a whole. So what they effectively did was use the claims as a template to discount the issues with crosstalk, the issues with color mixing.
I'm not following this. On the crosstalk point, they had discussion about it and how it wouldn't interfere with the motivation to combine, wouldn't be a teaching away. There's plenty of evidence in the record that crosstalk wouldn't prevent the combination. What did they do wrong?
They made that finding, Your Honor, by saying that only a single pixel was claimed as opposed to multiple pixels. If you have only
one
pixel.
That's one ground, but I don't understand that to be the sole ground for their conclusion.
We think that that was, in fact, the sole ground for rejecting the various arguments presented by our expert and for critiquing our expert for not anticipating the patent challenger's response.
Where do they say it's the sole ground?
So the error begins in their...
After having done their crosstalk analysis, they say, moreover, at the end, we note that crosstalk is only a problem when it has more than one pixel. But they've already had rendered their analysis as to why they're rejecting your crosstalk argument, right?
However, at page 40 of their opinion, this is appendix.
I'm looking at 42 is where I'm, pardon me, where I was looking
at. Sure. And where I think the error began, which infects the balance of the opinion, at page 40 of the opinion, appendix 1250, they acknowledge that petitioner replies, while patent owner is correct that applying a texture will increase scattering and diffusing.
Where are you in on that page?
I'm at the top of the page, right, where they're citing petitioner's position. So both the board and petitioner acknowledge that applying a texture will increase scattering and diffusion of incident light that does not necessarily equate to a substantial increase in optical crosstalk, which depends on a number of factors, including device layout, architecture, elements designed to reduce optical crosstalk. And they go on. This is an acknowledgement that crosstalk exists.
This isn't based on a single pixel thing.
No.
Which, as Judge Clevenger points out, doesn't come up until page 42 in the moreover paragraph.
That's correct. But there's no independent finding that there is not optical crosstalk. Rather, what the board depends on is that optical crosstalk is not commensurate.
Moreover, I mean furthermore or in addition to?
Correct, moreover, on page 42.
Yeah.
However, none of the points where the board evaluates the motivation to combine, do they specifically find that there was a lack of optical crosstalk or that the motivation to combine was sufficient without optical crosstalk? And I'd say that the error begins page 37 of the opinion, where the board cites the intelligent biosystems case. This is on the bottom of page 37 of the opinion. They say, initially, we clarify that petitioner does not need to prove a reasonable expectation of success in achieving the objectives of either reference. What they...
On page 41, they say, we credit the testimony of Dr. Suri, and then they recite his testimony about crosstalk, as I understand it.
In crediting that testimony, however, Your Honor, they are basing their opinion on a different reading of the reference, which they raise on page 37, appendix 1247, which says another basis set forth by petitioner, however, is specific to improving sensitivity of a photodiode, i.e. corresponding to a pixel, as opposed to a CMOS image sensor that comprises more than one pixel. And they cite only to the reply at page 15. So the point being, they discounted the crosstalk argument not because it wasn't an issue for a CMOS image sensor as a whole. It was because they adopted an argument raised for the first time in the reply brief. That
but
was
wait,
not
the reply brief, I mean, in this case, this wasn't them bringing in whole new pieces of art in their reply brief. This was providing expert testimony in response to the patent owner's expert testimony. How is that not permissible?
It's not permissible if they shift the burden to the patentee. So
the
case law is clear. They presented a conclusory statement that the combination of the two references would improve performance of Mobuchi's CMOS image sensor. They then asked the patentee to respond to that argument. We did. We presented evidence in response. They then credited an argument raised for the first time on reply that the problems created in a CMOS image sensor were irrelevant to their analysis because an entire CMOS image sensor was not claimed and the claim could be read on a single pixel. And if there's only a single pixel, the issue of crosstalk is eliminated. So we believe that's the...
But I mean, if your real position is there wasn't enough in the petition to really justify the institution, but we can't review that question. We can only review whether or not there was enough in the record post-institution to justify the final written decision, right?
And respectfully, under the Magnum Oil case, which is cited in our brief at page 12, this court has found previously an agency may not change theories in midstream without giving respondents reasonable notice of the change and the opportunity
the
to present arguments under the new theory.
What's the change in theory?
The change in theory is that rather than evaluating a combination of Mazur with a multi-pixel CMOS image sensor, which was the basis for the petition, that combination would be evaluated as a combination of Mazur extracting a single pixel from the Mobuchi image sensor And that was critical because that eliminated the need to evaluate crosstalk. And they did so using the claims as a template.
It's not critical because they found there's all sorts of other evidence that even with multi-pixels, the crosstalk problem is thought to be solved in the prior art.
And respectfully, I don't believe there was any competent evidence in the record of that, Your Honor.
Well, I'm not sure about that. I see lots of prior art references that teach solving that problem.
But not the proposed combination, which I think is part of the problem. The patent owner is tasked with responding to the combinations presented by petitioner, this was part of the last argument, is whether the petitioner can fill in gaps in their original petition or whether the board can fill in those gaps by citing to additional references that are initially presented.
Well, you made a very specific crosstalk argument in your patent owner response, right?
Yes, sir.
Are you saying they're not allowed to respond to that?
They can respond to that, but they can't respond to that by shifting their initial position or their initial theory.
Well, but their initial theory always was that these two pieces of prior art would be enough when put together, right?
But they did not discuss at all the issue of crosstalk in their petition. They didn't discuss any of the elements that they later argued in reply for the first time and the board credited avoided the problem.
Well, isn't there a really big difference? I mean, in Magnum Oil, the board was coming up with a whole new piece of prior art that no one had ever cited, and it was totally out of the blue. What we're talking about here is a situation in which you present your case in the petition that these two pieces of prior art would be enough to render the claim obvious. And are you saying that in your petition you need to anticipate every possible patent owner response?
I'm saying in your petition you need to set out a claim construction and a combination that can't then be changed for the first time in reply. So you can't change the interpretation of the claim that you present in the petition, and you can't change the interpretation of the references in the petition.
How did they
in a
change
material
the
way.
Construction?
They changed the construction from...
By the moreover holding. It's the moreover paragraph.
The moreover paragraph, but which is tied to their...
A single
additional another basis.
That's your theory, is that they shifted and made the decision solely on the basis of a single pixel claim.
Correct, and that's also found at page 37 in the opinion.
It wasn't just a single pixel theory. So we've been pointing out to you that the board... It has the single pixel thing just as a moreover paragraph at the end of this discussion.
But they also have that at the beginning of the discussion, Your Honor, respectfully, at page 37. They state the basis for set forth by petitioner, however, is specific to improving sensitivity of a photodiode, i.e. corresponding to a pixel, and that was raised for the first time in the reply and then in the final written decision. That wasn't part of the institution decision. It was not part of the petition. So that's both at the beginning and the end of their analysis, Your Honor, respectively.
Okay, you're ready to rebuttal. Do you want to save it?
Yes, I guess we do.
Mr. Simmons.
I think it's still morning. If not, good afternoon. May it please the court. Your Honor, for clarification, from the very outset, HC has raised the same issue. That Mazur and Mabuchi in combination, and there's no dispute, contains all the elements of the claims. The relevant claims of the 591 patent. The only attack, what they repeatedly refer to as the motivation to combine the two references. And what we really argued was that the Supreme Court requires only an apparent reason to combine the references, and it's supported by some articulated reason with some rational underpinning. That was provided. And that was provided from the very beginning. And in that, Mabuchi teaches all the elements of the back-illuminated CMOS image sensor, but not the substantial, the substrate having a textured surface. Mazur teaches a method for microstructuring a silicon layer using a femtosecond laser for enhancing light-absorbing devices. Appendix pages 49 and 50 in the petition. And from the beginning, we said that it was well-known in references of the time. We're including Webb from 1981, Van Ziegbroek from 1997, and Maloney from 2006, all well before the 2009 filing date of the 591 patent, that texturing improves absorption. They don't refute that. They just say that wasn't a good enough reason. That's really their argument. We didn't change our position during this entire PTAB trial. At one point, we had to address issues raised by their expert. They basically said, your reason's not good enough, and our expert's going to talk about crosstalk. Now, the board did consider that. The board considered substantial evidence of what their expert raised. And what their expert did was essentially make drawings that weren't supported by a reference or by a calculation, and the board considered that. So if you look at
what they're saying is that their response to the crosstalk argument was a single pixel theory, and that was raised for the first time in the reply.
Their single pixel theory was raised out of the crosstalk raised by their expert in his expert declaration. Our expert addressed it in response. I think we're allowed to address what they raised in response. It was one of many issues. We didn't walk away from it. We still said you'd still have an improvement in absorption by texturing, and we refute the crosstalk, and the board addressed this issue.
Did your refutation on the crosstalk rely on the single pixel thing exclusively or partly or what?
No, it did not rely on it exclusively. Just like you pointed to the moreover statement, we acknowledge that the Mabuchi reference is multiple pixels. It's for multiple colors, right? Red, green, blue. There's color filters, lenses that focus the light. And so we acknowledge that's in the reference. We're saying you would still want to improve Mabuchi by texturing so that you could increase absorption, as is well known in the art as of 2009. That's set forth from the very beginning. They said that we raised that it was well known later. We did not. That was raised in the petition.
Where did you raise it in the petition that it was well known?
It's at appendix pages 12 to 15. And we talk about, according to the 591 patent, this purported solution. Well, if you look, it says, the solution is unsurprising, given the development of photodiodes and other imaging devices have been texturing surfaces for decades with the purpose of increasing electromagnetic radiation absorption. That's at page appendix 13. It's in our original petition, page 4. We go on to talk about observed in the 1960s. And we go on to talk about Webb, which was a patent from the 1981 that states that the incident surface can increase the light path by contouring it with the back surface or both devices.
Crosstalk isn't discussed in the petition, right?
No, crosstalk is not because it was an issue raised. So basically, we raised a reason to combine. They turned around and said, your reason's wrong because of crosstalk. And then once they raised that issue, which I consider to be a rebuttal evidence, they were rebutting our reason to combine. We met our burden. We had an expert say, here's a reason to combine. I base it upon an express teaching in the Mazur reference. So you take the Mazur reference, it expressly teaches you can increase the functionality through absorption, and you combine it with a Mabuchi, and then they come back and say, that's not a good reason. They don't dispute that Mazur teaches that. They say that's not a good enough reason because of crosstalk. And our expert comes back and says, wait a minute, when you say crosstalk, and they show a diagram of crosstalk, if you look at their expert's diagram, he eliminates parts of Mabuchi that have the light blocking aluminum and also the micro lens, because that's supposed to prevent crosstalk in Mabuchi, and he also ignores that there's space around each of the pixels in Mabuchi. And that's, we refute the rebuttal. The PTAB considered both experts and both our arguments, and that's in our brief at page 29, the red brief. And the PTAB goes on to conclude that Cyanix's arguments, for example, one, fail to account for contributions from other components in Mabuchi.
So when did the one pixel issue show up?
The one pixel issue really showed up at the hearing. The crosstalk issue showed up during the entire proceeding. So as soon as we raised the reason to combine the references,
your basic evidence is that, yeah, there may be some crosstalk, but there's not enough to make you worry.
There's not enough to make it a problem.
That's right.
It's an optimization.
You concede that there's potential for crosswalk, but the prior art has taught a way to minimize that.
That's right, Your Honor.
So bring back to when one pixel shows up.
My understanding is the one pixel came up in the hearing itself. So it was in the actual hearing at the end of the proceeding.
One of the judges leans over and says, hey, this claim would read on one pixel?
Right, right. And then and counsel
sort of a Thomas Edison moment. Why are we worried about crosstalk?
Right. So why are we worried about crosstalk when the claim only covers one pixel? We don't take that position. We don't need to have it be one pixel, although I argue that they've essentially said that that's what it is in the past. But that's not necessary because we're saying you can improve absorption in multiple pixels. And Van Ziegbroek, for example, is an array of pixels. That's one of the prior references from 1997 that we say show it was well known. We're not using that for obviousness. We're just saying it's well known. The texture would improve absorption. So I think the one pixel argument is a red herring, essentially. And the PTAB thoroughly considered it. And counsel actually pointed to the place where the PTAB considered all arguments. They say that their expert unduly emphasized the degree and severity of the effect of crosstalk. That's at appendix pages 1250 to 52. They also say they failed to accurately represent the broader teachings of Mazur. So again, the PTAB considered the evidence and just weighed in favor of the petitioner. And they also said that their arguments are contradicted by the evidence of record demonstrating the trapping effects that result from the texture. So we had pointed to the Wu reference, and in the Wu reference, which get a diagram at. I think in their own brief, that the Wu reference, which was one of Mazur's graduate students, it's in their brief at page 52. It's a sketch. And Wu was a graduate student of Professor Mazur, which they put in their background. And in her sketch, she shows that the light bounces back and forth between the different textured surfaces. And that is what would cause light to get trapped actually in the texturing and not necessarily bounce through and go into the adjacent pixel. They also point to Dr. Suri and in Dr. Suri's testimony, and they ask Dr. Suri about the Wu diagram, and then they make a drawing, which they introduced for the first time during the oral hearing as well. It's what we refer to as the scale drawing, which was slide 9 in their presentation. They based that upon testimony from Dr. Suri's deposition. They never raised it in their opportunity to raise it in the observations on cross-examination, but they made this drawing in the slide. It's counsel's drawing. Doesn't come from their expert. Doesn't come from any of the references. So that's what they use to attack saying that light's going to go even from the Wu diagram into the adjacent pixel. And that's not evidence. That's attorney argument. And then finally, they'd also criticized whether Dr. Suri was one of ordinary skill in the art, had the expertise to get more weight than their expert, Mr. Gaidash. So all along, they'd never attacked the one of ordinary skill in the art. Again, it wasn't until the oral hearing on the PTAB where they said that, oh, well, even though he meets one of ordinary skill in the art, he doesn't have optical design experience. They never disputed his qualifications prior to that. The first time they raised it was at the PTAB hearing, suggesting that he should be given less weight. Well, actually, Dr. Suri, on the record, has experience in texturing. Mr. Gaidash does not. Now, we've never disputed that Mr. Gaidash is a qualified expert, and Dr. Suri certainly is a qualified expert. If there's any other questions on the obviousness combination?
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Simmons.
Okay. If I need to address anything on Nakashiba, Your Honors, that's the anticipation reference?
I don't think so.
Okay. Thank you, Your Honors.
Your Honor, if I may respond briefly, there are several points where the board does reference, and I'm looking at pages 45 and 46 of the opinion, their belief that the petitioner's challenge need not establish a reasonable expectation of success in meeting Mabuchi's objectives of mitigating crosstalk and tightly packed pixels if that objective was not recited in the claims. They go on to say the relevant evidence, however, must also be tied to the scope of the claimed invention, which may be broader than the disclosed objectives of either reference. I think that for us, that's the fundamental error that the board made in crediting on the one hand.
Your recollection of how the one pixel matter came to be is similar from your adversary. Popped up at oral argument.
Respectfully, I believe there was an allusion to it at page 15 of their reply brief, and it did come up at oral argument. So I think they did raise it prior to oral argument, but not at a point in time where we had an opportunity to brief a response. And it was not in the original petition, and it was not in the original institution decision. I would also note just briefly that of the references that counsel mentioned, the Wu thesis and others, all of those references go to the benefit of texture, not in a CMOS image sensor. So the only reference that was cited by petitioner that was a CMOS image sensor is the Akahori reference. And this is our appeal brief at page 54. We make this point that the board, they gave two reasons for the motivation to combine Mazur and Mabuchi. One reason, they said, see above, the exact same reasons for combining Akahori and Mazur apply to the combination of Mabuchi and Mazur. And the board found that Akahori, which is the only reference that deals with a CMOS image sensor that discusses texture, expressly taught away from that combination. And the board found, decided not to institute, and that decision is not appealed.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Mellinger. You're out of time. Thank you, counsel. The case is submitted. That concludes our session for this morning.
All rise. The honorable court is adjourned until tomorrow.